Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. And today, we're going to talk about Idiocracy. That's right, we're doing a film analysis of the classic film from 2006, Mike Judge's Idiocracy. We're going to talk about this dystopian comedy and how it has slowly become a reality. As we examine the corporate oligarchy takeovers of the government, society spiraling out into its base frequencies, and the false depictions of the Illuminati New Atlantis. It's all going to get covered today. And before we get into the film, couple quick items of housekeeping, all right? One, you'll notice my voice is better. I finally shook out all that congestion. And we're ready to rock and roll, folks. Two, did you hear me on Tinfoil Hat? I had my 12th appearance on Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli and XG and Johnny Woodard. We talked about The Wizard of Oz, and it's a great time. You got to listen to it. You can watch the full video interview on samtripoli.com right now as we speak. It's out there. Three, I've enabled Apple Premium. That's right. If you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, which I know you are, I know it's like 90% of you out there, all right? So listen up, listen close. You have no more excuses to be a free feed loser anymore. I've made it so simple. With the click of a button, you can now join the ranks of all the great supporters. And of course, I've still got Patreon. I still got the VIP section. I still got the Rockfin. I'm giving you another method of doing it. This one is the easiest one by far. If you're on Apple Podcasts, just hit the button, you're in. And I did a whole 10-minute show last week discussing it. But you basically get the same, benefits. You're going to get all the bonus shows, 160, 170 plus, going back to 2017. Because every month I give my supporters extra exclusive content. One episode a month. You'll also get the ad-free version of the show. And early access as well. And I will no longer call you a free feed loser. Which, isn't that the best? you know I'm joking. You can be on the free feed. You know, a lot of you like that. You like it when I call you a free feed loser. So I'm going to keep doing it. Because I think it's funny. You know, I grew up watching 80s wrestling. And I was always drawn like a magnet to the bad guys. I loved them. Remember when, was it the Million Dollar Man was going to pay that kid to dribble the basketball and he knocked it out of his hands? Oh, great moment. Anyway, so that's the housekeeping. Look at that. 2 minutes and we're done. Moving on. Oh, and today, one item of warning. Today's show, usually I don't swear or have much swearing in these shows. Today we're going to have a lot of explicit content. Explicit lyrics. Because I'm going to play you clips from the movie. Very sexual in nature at times. Lots of swear words. So if you don't want to hear that, this isn't the show for you. Moving on. Should you watch this movie before we do the analysis? Of course. And I'll give you a fair warning that I've given many people. And I received this fair warning, and it was accurate. The first time you watch this, you're going to think it's stupid. I didn't like it. The first time I watched it, I was like, this is dumb. My friend let me borrow it. Ironically, the same friend who he red-pilled me. The same friend let me borrow David Icke's Freedom Road on a bootleg VHS tape. So my red pill friend also gave me, he was a Marine, right? So we got along talking about all kinds of stuff and making fun of people, and he knew. He knew I had it in me, so he red-pilled me with David Icke and Idiocracy. And the first time I watched it, I thought, this is stupid. But then, and I made Josie watch it with me, but then after, you know, a couple days, it soaks into your brain, and you start bringing up clips and quotes, and you talk to other people that have seen it, and then it's funny. You're like, this is one of the funniest movies ever. So there you go. You should watch it. Not a big deal if I ruin the plot for you. Who cares, right? It's a silly comedy, so you should watch it. You don't need to watch it before you listen to this. Oh, and before I forget, shout out to Cheryl, all right? She's my top supporter. She's my top G, all right? She requested I do, you know, Cheryl's been on my team so long, and I she's got everything. She got every book, every shirt. I said, I don't know what else I can give you. I don't know what else I can give you, Cheryl. She said, I want to see a show about Idiocracy. And I said, consider it done. And I'll be honest with you. At first, I wasn't sure that I could actually make a full analysis about this movie. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it for Cheryl. And I gave it a watch. And I thought, there's a ton here. There's a lot we could talk about. So we're going to do it today. The movie is the perfect length. It's less than 90 minutes. It's 84 minutes because he knew how to keep it moving. All right. Starring Luke Wilson. He plays Corporal Joe Bowers, a.k.a. Not Sure, which will make sense when you watch the movie. This is, of course, Owen Wilson's brother. The Wilsons, they were actually born to a television executive. So, you know, go figure, they become actors. There's a trend of, what do you call it? There's like a term for nepotism, nepo babies or whatever. It's like when you're born into wealth or Hollywood and you make it, like, it's not a shock, right? Everything's been laid out for you. Well, Luke Wilson, in his personal life, had a relationship with Drew Barrymore. You recall she was a child actor. She was put onto drugs and partying from a very inappropriately young age. Infamously addicted to coke by the age of 12. Maya Rudolph, she's also in this. She plays Corporal Joe Bowers' consort. She is a prostitute named Rita. She also was born into the entertainment industry. Her mother was a singer and her father was a composer. We also have Dax Shepard, who plays Frito Pentejo. He's, Dax Shepard, that guy. The Armchair Quarterback podcast guy. That guy, he's in this movie. His parents were not in entertainment. Says he's from Detroit. His parents worked in the automotive industry. It's a real Jack and Diane story, all right? Actually, don't mind Dax Shepard. I've actually listened to a couple of his podcasts. He's fine. Terry Crews is in this movie. He plays President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho. He's also from Michigan. He's from Flint, Michigan. I had a friend in the military from Flint, Michigan. He was a white guy. And he's always talking about how hard Flint was. I had no idea. You know, I grew up in PA. I'd never been to Michigan. And, he was one of only a handful of white people in Michigan. But, Flint, Michigan, Terry Crews is from there. It's a tough city. It's a tough city. I mean, and look at Terry Crews, right? This guy's amazing, right? He played in the NFL. He's from a gritty-ass city named Flint, Michigan. Flint, Michigan also, where they're making them drink the poison water. But this guy, he was part of the Me Too movement, right? He accused this high-level executive, I think his name was Adam, I can't even pronounce it, Venet, from a talent company. He accused him of sexually, misconduct, abuse, harassment, something to that effect, when he was coming up in Hollywood. Devout Christian, he said he had a bad porn addiction, right? And, I don't know. I respect Terry Crews. And, you know, I'm a pro-porn kind of guy. But that's not to say some people don't get addicted. It's like anything else, right? Alcohol, gambling. Some people are susceptible to it, and that's a real shame. But, yeah, Terry Crews. Shout out Terry Crews, too. Justin Long, he's in this. He plays Dr. Lexus. He also was in a relationship with Drew Barrymore at one time. And last but definitely not least, the rapper Scarface from the Ghetto Boys. He's the pimp. He plays Upgrade with 2 D's for the double dose of pimping. Now, this movie was created by Mike Judge. This is the guy that gave us Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. Now, King of the Hill had a character named Dale. I never actually watched King of the Hill. But there was a character named Dale, and he used this alias of Rusty Shacklesford. Apparently, right? And I see this Rusty Shacklesford all the time. Usernames on people on my Patreon and commenters on Instagram and stuff like that. Even, what's that guy's name? The McAfee guy, right? He's allegedly, there was a guy taking drone footage of Epstein Island on YouTube around the time the John McAfee died. And people alleged that that was him. And the username for that YouTube channel was Rusty Shackelsford. I spoke too soon about my voice being fine. It's better. it's like 90%. All right. But Mike Judge gave us Office Space and Silicon Valley as well as Idiocracy. So interesting guy, right? He's done lots of films. And before he did films, he worked in Silicon Valley. And Wikipedia says he moved to Silicon Valley to join Parallax Graphics, a startup video card company with about 40 employees based in Santa Clara, California. Disliking the company's culture and his colleagues. Disliking the company's culture and his colleagues. And they quote him. He said, "The people I met were like Stepford wives. They were true believers in something, and I don't know what it was." Now, isn't that interesting? That's just like we did the film analysis for Don't Worry, Darling. It makes me think about that, right? Stepford Wives, of course, written by Ira Levin, the guy who wrote Rosemary's Baby. Now, Idiocracy's release in theatrical release is somewhat of a conspiracy as well. So let's talk about that for a brief second. I'm going to read you from Wikipedia. It says, Judge's third film, Idiocracy, a dystopian comedy starring Luke Wilson and Maya Rudolph, was given a limited release theatrically by 20th Century Fox in September 2006, 2 years after production. The film's original release date was intended to be on August 5th, 2005, according to Mike Judge. In April 2006, a release date was set for September 1st, 2006. The film was released without a trailer or a substantial marketing campaign. The film was not screened for critics beforehand, as is usually done. Lack of concrete information from Fox led to speculation that the distributor may have actively attempted to keep the film from being seen by a large audience, while fulfilling a contractual obligation for theatrical release ahead of a DVD release. So why were they trying to suppress this? Well, I think we'll find out, right? They had spent $2.5 million to make the film, and it only brought in about $500,000 in the box offices. So total failure, but it would go on to have a very large cult following, as you will hear today. So without further ado, let's get into Idiocracy. Let's go. So at the beginning of the film, it shows us a demonstration of the theory of Darwinism and evolution, and it goes through this pretty hilarious explanation of how Darwinism and the evolution of man is not working as intended. Take a listen.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
Now, what's interesting is that they show us what the theory of evolution and the technocrats and the Illuminati subscribe to. And it, of course, shows us the New Atlantis. And this is the world that these occultists wanted to bring back. This goes, if you look at Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, If you look at Francis Bacon's New Atlantis, which, no, New Atlantis, this was a novel from the 1600s. Francis Bacon wrote it about this island, and it had this educational system, this college. It was a state-sponsored scientific institution, and it was called Solomon's House. And they called it the Eye of the Kingdom. And this utopia called New Atlantis, it uses science as the new priests. And science is here to decode and to conquer nature. That is referring to taking over for God. And this book influenced the early Rosicrucians and all that. Now, if you go to Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, he was calling for a universal global order. Very much a, you know, Alex Jones is always ranting and raving about the globalist New World Order. That's one of the ideas is where he gets this from, I propose. He wanted this universal, Manly P. Hall and the Freemasons, allegedly, wanted this universal New World Order. And in Secret Destiny, they call it the Platonic Empire. All right. Why not? I'll read to you from Secret Destiny of America. It is reasonably conceivable that in secrecy and anonymity, well-ordered aid has been given to the struggle for human equity and justice that has been America's destiny through the past into our present time. It is our duty and our privilege to contribute what we can to this universal plan. It will go on, served by the unknowns, until the Platonic Empire is established on the earth and the towers of the New Atlantis rise from the ruins of a materialistic and selfish world. Now, if you hear what he's saying there about materialism, he's suggesting that materialism is evil, which is a very Gnostic idea. They think the material realm and God's earth and our human bodies even are limiting the true nature, the Kabbalistic spark of man. But in the movie, let's get back to Idiocracy. In the movie, you hear they'll say, they use the line, they say, with no natural predators to thin the herd, right? Well, that's a very Darwinian idea. And who subscribes to social Darwinism? The Church of Satan. That's right. They don't believe in turning the other cheek. They believe in a very capitalistic idea of you're allowed to punch someone in the face if they do you wrong. So anyways, they introduce two different types of couples. One is Cleavon with an IQ of 84, and he's got a ton of kids. Then they got Trevor with an IQ of 135, who's scared of the economy, too scared to have kids. Scared to put down on some thick. Trevor's scared to put down on some thick. That's what it is. He's worried about school and economics. But then they show they show Cleavon Jr., who's the first child of Cleavon, and his IQ is even less. It goes from 84 to 78. And he's busy. He's playing football. He's banging all the cheerleaders. And, oh, an interesting fun fact, his jersey number is actually 33, right? Maybe a reference to the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. So it's 2005, and in the basement of this army library, we're introduced to Private Joe Bowers, Luke Wilson, right? And he's been chosen for this human hibernation experiment with the idea that what they can do is, and he's an idiot, right? They're just going to use him to experiment on, because what they want to do is actually save their best pilots when they're in their prime for when they need them later down the road. So they choose Joe Bowers for this experiment because he's as average as anyone could be. He's the perfectly average, but he's no family. He's an only child. His parents are deceased, which would have made for a nice Disney plot, right? And so they choose him, and they choose a prostitute named Rita to undergo this experiment for hibernation. And Rita was a prostitute, and her pimp is Upgrade. played by Scarface, of course. So these two, they go under hibernation, and they're under hibernation for a year. But while they're in hibernation, the officer, the military officer, who was under control of the program, gets arrested because he started hanging out with Upgrade, and he started pimping too. So he gets arrested for pimping, and no one realizes that these two are in these hibernation pods. So the 1 year turns into 2 and 3 and 4 and it's so on, right? So they're in these hibernation pods longer than expected. And they're in the future now, and we're not sure what year it is yet. It's 2505, we find out. But they're in the future, and they're tearing down these army buildings because now it's, 500 years later. And they're tearing down the buildings, and you find out, if you look closely, and I'll put the image on the Instagram or... if you're watching the video version of this show, when they're tearing down the building, you see that it's the building number is also 33. Just a coincidence? I think not. I think not. So the narrator who walks us through this story, he talks about what happens to society while these two are stuck in these hibernation pods. Take a listen.
Soon after Cullen's arrest and the massive scandal that followed, the base was closed. It hadn't even been a year, and the entire project was simply forgotten. Things looked bleak for Joe, but they were even worse for mankind. As Joe and Rita lay dormant, the years passed, and mankind became stupider at a frightening rate. Some had high hopes that genetic engineering would correct this trend in evolution. But sadly, the greatest minds and resources were focused on conquering hair loss and prolonging erections. Meanwhile, the population exploded and intelligence continued to decline until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries with no plan whatsoever, leading to the Great Garbage Avalanche of 2505, which would set in motion the events that would change the world forever.
So they're in the hibernation pods, and the Great Garbage Avalanche happens, and out comes these hibernation pods. They bust open, right? Now it's the year 2505, and... the characters, the society is full of morons, right? Dax Shepard plays one of the morons. And they're doing dumb stuff, like they're eating cheese from a bucket. They're watching shows on a thing called the Violence Network, shows like Ow My Balls, and it's just a guy getting kicked in the balls over and over again. Very much like Jackass. Actually like Jackass, but I'm also a simpleton, all right? The future is going to be just fine for people like me. And they're eating at places because they lose the ability to spell over time. And Fuddruckers, the restaurant, which I haven't seen one of those in forever, but anyway, Fuddruckers slowly morphs into Buttfuckers in 500 years, right? And if you look, you can see different advertisements, right? And what was interesting to me was that they had an advertisement for Google. It said, "Oogle my Google." For $599 a day. Now, that was interesting because Google, back in 2005, I mean, they were a big company, don't get me wrong, but certainly not the name they are today, right? But everything you see in the future has corporate advertisements all over it. There's not an inch of wasted space. Everything's going to have corporate sponsorship. It's on the clothing. It's in the courtrooms. It's all over the hospitals. And this is the corporate takeover. This is exactly what they want. And that's how we do it in America, right? Our healthcare system is a for-profit system. It's not impossible that you're going to see Carl's Jr. ads in the hospital. And we're going to talk about this more in the conclusion, because there's actual real conspiracies about corporate America preventing the release of this film. Why do you think they didn't want this out there? Right? Because they want us, eating buckets of cheese and watching the Violence Network while they rake in the dough. The one is wearing shirts that say Carl's Jr. all over it. So anyway, what's his name? Luke Wilson's character, Bowers, Private Joe Bowers, right? He gets up. He's like, what? He has no idea what year it is or nothing, right? He just wakes up. He's like, what's happening here, right? And he goes to a hospital named St. God's Memorial Hospital. And everyone's giving him grief. They're saying he talks like, and look, there's a word they use back in 2005. Out of respect, I will not say the word. I'll spell it out. But they say he talks like an F-A-G. Because he doesn't have the future dialect is a mixture of hillbilly and slang, and he doesn't have that, okay? So they make a joke out of how he talks like an F-A-G, all right? And in this hospital, they've got slot machines. They've got water fountains that don't provide water. They provide Brondo, which is like a Gatorade. It's a thirst mutilator with electrolytes. Which I remember watching this in 2005, how silly that seemed. And, I mean, I'll be damned if you don't see... I mean, shit, I buy electrolytes. I buy them. Every drink has electrolytes in it now. So, I mean, another accuracy of the film. And there was a fun fact, there was actually a website, Brondo.com, and if you go there now, it takes you to Omni Consumer Products that I am pretty sure is also a fake website that has various movie products. Like it has the Fight Club soap. I don't know if you can actually buy it or not, but I checked it out just because I was curious. Anyway, so corporate Bowers goes to this hospital and because he's like, he wants to get checked out. And he talks to Dr. Lexus. And this is a very funny clip, and I'll play it for you. Justin Long plays Dr. Lexus. And you can hear that we've incorporated some of these dialects. I do it myself. We all have Valley Girl slang. Instead of saying, I think Bill Maher was making fun of this the other night. He said, you know, when people talk nowadays, when they're telling a story, they're like, well, he said this and she said that. They say... Well, he's all like this, and I'm like that. Like, it's Valley Girl slang. It's true. I do it all the time. I'm not above it. But take a listen to this dialogue.
Hey. How's Aang, S.A.?
Yeah, right. Well, not so good. You know, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm seeing things. I think it might be because of these drugs the Army put me on. But if you could... just get me well enough to get back to base.
Right. Kick ass. Well, don't want to sound like a dick or nothing, but it says on your chart that you're fucked up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded. What I do is just like you know, like, you know what I mean? Like...
No, I'm serious here.
Don't worry, Scrub. Now, there are plenty of tards out there living really kick-ass lives. My first wife was tarded. She's a pilot now.
I need for you to be serious for a second here, okay? I need help.
There's that fag talk we talked about. Right, so that'll be this many dollars. And if you could just go ahead and, like, put your tattoo in that shit.
That's weird. This thing has the same misprint as that magazine. What are the odds?
Where's your tattoo? Why don't you have this?
Now, look, I'm not going to go over every single joke in this movie. there was a couple I wanted to pull out that are funny. That was one of them. All right, now, so they find out that Corporate Bowers doesn't have the tattoo, which is what they use for payment. They use a wrist tattoo for payment. And they freak out. They call him an unscannable, right? And back in the day, I remember. Tattoos were viewed as the mark of the beast. In fact, one of my early formative moments as a child in the grocery store, I remember seeing one of those little pamphlets. There's a name for it. I forget it all the time. Paranoid American made a bunch of MK Ultra versions of these pamphlets. And I remember seeing about this mark of the beast talk. I've actually heard a defense from a guy on TikTok that made a lot of sense, right? And I, obviously, I'm covered in tattoos. And of course, I want to believe that this is not going to give me eternal damnation. But what do I know? Maybe, right? And this guy on TikTok, I saw it on TikTok, it must be true, references the book of Leviticus 19:28. And he claims, and I'm no theologian, I could be very wrong about this, he claims that this is the only scripture that says you shouldn't do tattoos in the Bible. And he says if you want to look at the that whole book of Leviticus, you've got, it tells you not to trim your beard, tells you to eat rare steak, tells you don't cut the sides of your hair. And Leviticus was written to the Levites. So even with all that in mind, as long as you're not a Leviticus priest, you're good, turns out. And then in the book of Matthew, they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, what's the most important commandment? And he said, love God, love people. That's it. It's just that easy. On paper, it's easy. In reality, not so easy. In Corinthians, it's mentioned that something to that effect, that something about how everything on this earth doesn't necessarily benefit you, right? So the idea is, okay, you can get a tattoo, but know that it's not necessarily going to make your life better or be in your best benefit. So that's kind of where it lies. It's one of those things that's like, well, I mean, you can. You're not going to go to burning hell, but is it putting you on the right path towards God? And that's a subjective question. But the tattoo is the mark of the beast for payment is where it comes in this film, because the mark of the beast is needed to buy and sell. A lot of people think it's going to be the cryptocurrencies via embedded chips in your hand. Or maybe a lot of people were worried that this was going to be the new vaccine card, right? Remember that? But either way, in the film, they find out he doesn't have this mark of the beast and they're all freaking out. They're freaking out. They don't want to be near him because he's not fitting in to what society is demanding he be like. And in the movie, people, they go up to kiosks to order food. A kiosk is called Omni Bro, which again, and I'll put that image on there too. Again, that's happening right now. When you go to McDonald's, you go up to the screen and order, right? This is happening. There's already an Omni Bro at these fast food places. In this example, in the film, it's actually Carl's Jr., but, you know, and their slogan is Carl's Jr., fuck you, I'm eating. And what's ironic is that the CEO of Carl's Jr. was actually Donald Trump's nomination for Secretary of Labor back in 2017, but the guy backed out. So Carl's Jr. in league with the government almost happened in 2017. So anyway, the cops, they come and they arrest him. They arrest Joe Bowers for being an unscannable. And they send him to trial at a courtroom, right? And they force him to get the mark of the beast. They force him to get this tattoo. And the machine, he puts his arm in the machine to get the tattoo. And they ask him his name and he gets confused by what they're asking him. And he says, not sure. Now his name, he's trying to have a conversation with this AI machine. They scan him with a tattoo. They mark him. And now his name is not sure. Okay? And they send him to prison. And he takes an IQ test while he's in prison. And he finds out that he's smart. He's really smart compared to the mouth breathers that he's surrounded by. So he gets this idea. He's thinking, he's starting to realize, he says, maybe I'm smarter than everybody here. And maybe I can just walk right out of this prison. And so he walks up to the guards. He says, look, I'm supposed to leave right now. And they say, okay. And he walks out, right? And this whole time he says, look, I don't want to be in 2505. I got to find this time machine. And he goes back to Dax Shepard's character, Frito Pendejo. And Frito says, hey, they got one of those time machines at Costco. So he says, well, take me there. So they make it to Costco. There's no time machine. All right. But the cops pick him up again. They take him to the White House because now they realize he's the smartest human being on Earth because of that IQ test. And here's where he meets the president, Terry Crews. Dwayne Elizondo Camacho, porn star, wrestling, the WWE SmackDown champ, and president of the United States. President Camacho says, look here, not sure. You're the smartest human being. You're going to fix this dust storm. You're going to fix these dying crops. You're going to fix the economy, as he puts it. He says, he's going to do it all in 1 week. All right. And we find out that they've been watering the crops with this Brondo, this Gatorade. So not sure is like, well, duh, what are you guys doing that for? And he finds out that the Brondo, the lobbyist of Brondo, bought the FDA and the FCC so they could say and do whatever they wanted, including changing the food pyramid. Now, if that don't sound like a real conspiracy, I don't know what is, right? Some real stuff. This lobbyist revolving door, which is to me the biggest problem. They go back and forth, government, military, the lobbyists, lobbying for corporate America. So he fixes the Dust Bowl. He fixes the plants by simply giving them water.
All right.
By undoing what the corporate oligarchies managed to screw up. The problem happens, though, that Brondo, the stock drops to zero and everyone loses their jobs. So now the unemployment rate's through the roof. So now they're mad at not sure again. They said, okay, you screwed up again. Now you're getting punished. They sent him to this Roman gladiator death match they called Monday Night Rehabilitation. It's like the Running Man, right? It's televised entertainment of someone going through the punishment and possibly dying. And he's about to get killed. He's about to get torched by Beef Supreme. when all of a sudden, Frito Pendejo, he puts up some footage on the main screen in the stadium there of the crops actually growing because of the water transition. So President Camacho, he gives Not Sure a full pardon, saves him, makes him a vice president, and all is good, right? He saves the world. And the movie's over. In the denouement, we find out that the time machine at Costco that Frito thought was there was just a carousel ride, and it shows the world history. And Not Sure sort of accepts that now he's stuck in the future. There is no time machine. He's done. And the UN is recognized as the ones to, what they say, un-Nazi the world, right? On this time machine ride. And in the future, Not Sure and Rita, they end up having 3 kids. And they tell you that Frito Pendejo has 32 kids. Again, very close to 33. Another 33 reference, perhaps. And then if you watch the credits, there's a post-credits clip. You've got Upgrade, the pimp. He wakes up in the future also. He's in a hibernation pod. And now he's in the mix. Presumably, he's going to end up doing better than Not Sure. So in conclusion, Idiocracy, this whole plot of social Darwinism going the wrong direction, is this possible? Well, from just an opinionated, casual observation of current society versus what Idiocracy showed us almost 20 years ago. 20 years ago, he was saying, here's what the future is going to look like. People are vulgar. They're stupid. They're covered in tattoos. They're entertained by violence. Corporate America rules everything, even the government. Everyone's obsessed with sex and masturbation. I mean, in the future, you can get a hand job at Starbucks. So there's that, right? It's the Roman bread and circus. So I think Mike Judge was looking at the past to look at the future. And yes, there's a theory called dysgenics, which is this idea that there's traits that we desire, and those traits that we, you know, to be more intelligent, more understanding, higher frequency, ascending up the ladder of consciousness. I think they call it the ladder of Mithras, I believe. Ascending consciousness, like we talked about with Wizard of Oz. Did you catch my 4 episodes on Wizard of Oz yet? We talked about ascending consciousness. Well, there's an opposite of that. Descending consciousness, dysgenics. And they say that over time, due to social pressures that disfavor the reproduction of the quality traits, things will go the wrong direction. So that intellectual couple, they're busy thinking about the economy. They're busy worried about having enough money to pay for this kid. They're worried about the future world. They're worried about climate change. They're too worried to have a child. Meanwhile, Johnny Football, he's dumping the clip. He don't care. And I believe that YOLO is pushing us into this kind of attitude. You know, Johnny Football, he's actually having a much funner life than the intellectual guy. Intellectual guy's like, no, we got to get through college. Let's make some good investments first. Let's pay off the bills. He's holding back. He's restraining. Johnny Football's having a great time. Johnny Football's posting it all over social media. And others are going to see it and they're saying, I want to live Johnny Football's life too. Because social media paints a false picture of reality. People end up chasing it. Everybody's an entrepreneur, right? And there's a book by Richard Lynn called Dysgenics, Genetic Deterioration in Modern Populations, right? And he wrote it back in 96. And his concerns, I'm going to read you. I didn't read the whole book, obviously. I could barely read the title. It says, Richard Lynn lists 3 concerns: deterioration in health, intelligence, and consciousness. No, conscientiousness, excuse me. Lynn claims that unlike modern societies, natural selection in pre-industrial societies favored traits such as intelligence and character. So when you read all these occult philosophers, it makes me think, you know, over 100 years ago when a lot of these occultists were around, maybe there were higher orders of thinking back then. Because who's the modern philosophers now? We've got, like Jordan Peterson. We've got Sam Harris. I mean, it seems like back in the day, everybody was a philosopher. There's always big names, right? We still talk about Plato. Are all these philosophers being suppressed? Or do they not exist? Or is it just too heady and no one wants to look at it? No one wants to think about this stuff? Or, you know, maybe they're just not on my radar because I'm not in that world. But it just seemed to me, it seems, again, casual observation, seems that maybe it was more prevalent 100 plus years ago to talk about philosophies and higher order ideas. But it's also possible I'm totally wrong with that. But anyway, because I'm sure back then there was, you know, dummies working the farm that had no clue what the Renaissance thought leaders were up to. And just for fun, I thought, all right, let's do a little comparison here on this theory of who's having all the children, okay? Nick Cannon has 12 kids. Jordan Peterson has 2. Sam Harris, 2 kids. Joe Rogan, 2 kids. Neil deGrasse Tyson, 2 kids. So those 4, I'd say, pretty intellectual folks. As far, you know, and I'm not saying, oh, I love Neil deGrasse Tyson. Like, I don't really like him. But, I mean, those are 4 kind of thought leaders of modern society. Those 4, even together, have less than Nick Cannon, right? So anyway, again, casual observations and opinions here. That's all I'm saying. And if you look at, I watched a lot of cyberpunk movies recently. This shows this potential future. This they call it high tech, low life. You know, the technology keeps increasing, but our lifestyles decrease over time. Now, there's actually one interesting thing. I'm going to wrap it up here soon. Mike Judge considered the name of the film to be 3001. And that's actually what Arthur C. Clarke wrote a book, the last book in the Odyssey sequels, was 3001, The Final Odyssey, which I found that to be interesting. Now, of course, Arthur C. Clarke released that book prior to Mike Judge's movie, so I don't know if he did that to emulate it or what. Because in 3001, I read all those books. I highly recommend them. 3001, they show the final plan for humanity is evolving us into digital consciousness, getting rid of the human form, and abandoning this evil material realm, going out into space. But anyway, let's look at why they kept delaying the film, right? Because Wikipedia reports that there were multiple outlets saying it was intended to be delayed indefinitely. They didn't even want to release this film. Why though, right? That's why there was no screenings. That's why there was no press kits. There was no trailers. There was no advertisements for this movie. And New York Times claimed that maybe Fox didn't want to offend the audience or offend advertisers. You know, because the advertising plays such a prominent role in this film. But I think it's because it's too close to the reality of what they want. A corporate takeover. Now, Terry Crews, he said, I'm going to read you from Terry Crews. He said, the rumor was because we used real corporations in our comedy. I mean, Starbucks was giving hand jobs. These companies gave us their name thinking they were going to get pumped up. And then we're like, welcome to Costco. We love you. All these real corporations were like, wait a minute, wait a minute. There were a lot of people trying to back out, but it was too late. And so Fox, who owned the movie, decided we're going to release this in as few theaters as legally possible. So it got a release in probably 3 theaters over 1 weekend, and it was sucked out into the vortex. So yes, it was suppressed. Corporate America suppressed this thing. Because that's the truth, is that we live in this oligarchy state. The corporate takeover. And it's like I always say, it's not necessarily the government that controls us. It's the corporations who have infiltrated and influenced the government through lobbyists. The root cause of our issues, I believe, are mostly from corporate America. And one last item of proof, Donald Trump was also a wrestler and slept with a porn star, which is close to being a porn star, and he became the president. And Mike Judge, they actually asked him about this when it happened in 2016 or whatever. He said, I'm no prophet. I was off by 490 years. So there you go. And in double conclusion, Idiocracy, it's not possible. It's actually happening. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that film analysis. Thank you again, Cheryl, for that idea. That was a good one. Hope you enjoyed it. And again, if you want to support the show, you know where to go. Everyone's signing up. They're going ad-free. They're unlocking all the bonus episodes. You should join them. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Or now on the Apple Premium podcast app. You can just double-click and you're good. You're in. You'll get the early access. You get the ad-free. You get all the bonus episodes. In fact, if you're on the Apple Podcast app, you'll notice that when I release the new episodes, because early access gets it on Thursdays or Fridays, right? Free feed doesn't get it till Monday. You're going to notice that it shows up on your app feed, but you can't listen to it unless you sign up. Now, if you wait until Monday, then you can listen to it. It's a little confusing. I think Apple's still trying to work out how to differentiate and stuff, but anyways, you know where to go. Links are always in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.